Howdy. Don, I'm very excited about the songs. Thanks for mentioning that. yeah, we are here for what I call I Am That. Last week, we read a message from Consciousness and the Absolute, where Nisargadatta appeared to tell us that he had awakened more. This message was November 21, 1980. He said, "Whatever I had thought earlier has now changed. What is happening now is that even the slightest touch of individuality has completely disappeared, and it is consciousness as such which is spontaneously experiencing." So we went over that message last week, and after I shared that message, one of our members, one of our reverends, one of our ministers from Australia, her name is Manuela, she sent me a couple of emails, and I thought tonight, you know, I thought I actually would like to go over those emails. So I'm going to share with you from her emails. Let me go ahead and share my screen, because sometimes it's easier when you can see what's being read. So let me share my screen. All right, here we go. This was the first email I received from her. The funny thing was, also, I'll just tell you that when I woke up that morning about 5 a.m., notice I received this email at 4:48 a.m. When I woke up that morning about 5 a.m., like my first thoughts, I mean, I remember I was walking from the bed to the kitchen to get coffee, and I just had this thought kind of about this teaching on Wednesday night with from Nisargadatta and Manuela. They just kind of, the two things just kind of melded in my mind. Went and got my coffee, sat down, turned on the computer, and there were two emails from her on that topic. So that was kind of funny, kind of weird. But here we go. She says, "I absolutely loved your contemplation of talk November 21, 1980, talks of Nisargadatta Maharaj. When I contemplated this talk, I see exactly what Bernadette Roberts says. They are both explaining the same second awakening, the final doorway. What came to me is that when ego self falls away, the phenomenal self stays. It is the conscious self. This I have experienced and know. This is a really confusing part of the beginning of the unitive state. The phenomenal self sees the thoughts and knows and experiences everything consciously, the conscious part of human life. It feels the I am presence. With constant focus on the I am, you start to see like eyes adjusting to darkness or lightness in a room. You see that before the I am seemed the deepest part of you, but now you see that it isn't. You start to see it is made of the phenomenal self, conscious self, and the unconscious. Then you see the deepest level of I am consciousness is true self, because now the ego center is gone and the divine center is there. With more total focus on this unconscious, mysterious, true self, our deepest experience of the divine, the phenomenal self, dissolves. Nisargadatta had, like Bernadette, and using her example of the round paper donut, the largest divine center with the largest true self rim bordering onto the divine center and the thinnest line of phenomenal self. So he had the ultimate, deepest possible consciousness experience and knowing. Bernadette says this is too often taken as awakening enlightenment because it's all divine experience, but still in consciousness. I'll just pause there for a moment. I'll pose too, how's that? you know, Manuela is using a lot of the language from Bernadette's book because I think she's been contemplating Bernadette very deeply. And of course, Bernadette would talk a lot about the divine. Nisargadatta would not talk about the divine. He would talk about the absolute. But what she seems to be saying here is that, you know, in her understanding, based on her contemplation and also based on her own experience, that Nisargadatta had a very big experience of what he called the absolute. And maybe even mistook that experience for fully being the absolute, which is what he often said. And the reason he had this big experience of the absolute is because so little of the phenomenal self or the I am presence was left, that the space through which the absolute was experienced was very large. But what appears to have happened in this message that we read last week was that little tiny bit of phenomenal self, as she's saying here, or that little tiny bit of I am presence that was still there, fell away. In fact, he says, whatever I had thought earlier has now changed. What is happening now is that even the slightest touch of individuality has completely disappeared, and it is consciousness as such which is spontaneously experiencing. It's kind of interesting, though, because if you really look at his words, he isn't saying the slightest touch of the I am presence has completely disappeared. He's saying the slightest touch of individuality has completely disappeared. So I think one thing I want to say is, I don't think we can suppose we know exactly what his experience was. At least in my imagination, individuality is one thing, and the I am presence or the unitive experience is another. But maybe he just uses different words here. But clearly what he is saying is that there was something left, a small little bit left that maybe he wasn't even noticing, right? And that slightest touch of what he's calling individuality finally disappeared. And Bernadette Roberts does talk about the same thing, about the, she calls it the phenomenal self. So maybe they're just using different words to talk about the same thing. But she talks about how it can be there, and that it's it, the phenomenal self or the consciousness that is experiencing the divine. And so in Nisargadatta's situation, it was very possible that it was this remaining I am presence that was experiencing the absolute. Manuela says, from Nisargadatta's talking, yeah, she's saying the same thing I just said. From Nisargadatta's talking, he still spoke of consciousness and then the slightest touch of individuality. Bernadette says, this is our biggest mistake, understandably, because there is so little thin consciousness there, but it's still there. And still with the reflexive mechanism of knowing. You don't know it and can't know it until it falls away, until consciousness and the divine fall away. And again, this is something that Bernadette Roberts talks about. What she really says is, since our experience of the divine was through the consciousness that was remaining, our experience of the divine was really our experience of ourself, because it was through consciousness. You could say it's kind of like NTI says, everything we experience in the world, we experience through the filter of our mind. And that's why you and I may experience the same thing differently, right? It's through the filter of our mind. Well, this is the same kind of idea, but at a different level, that the divine is experienced through the consciousness that's remaining. And so that experience of the divine is really the experience of consciousness. Just like my experience of the world is really the experience of my mind, and your experience of the world is really the experience of your mind. So when that last remaining bit of consciousness falls away, that experience of the divine through consciousness also falls away. And again, Nisargadatta would not have used the word divine. He would have used the word absolute. But it's very possible, again, he had a very big experience of the absolute through the bit of I am presence that was still remaining. And then when that fell away, that would change everything, right? That would change everything, even if it was just the thinnest, slightest bit there. Having that fall away would also change his experience of the absolute. So there would be a dramatic change, which might lead him to say things like, whatever I had thought earlier has now changed. So again, Manuela says, from Nisargadatta's talking, he still spoke of consciousness and then the slightest touch of individuality. Bernadette says, this is our biggest mistake, understandably, because there is so little thin consciousness there. There's so little thin consciousness there, but it's still there and still with the reflexive mechanism of knowing. You don't know it and can't know it until it falls away, until consciousness and the divine fall away. Nisargadatta then talks of it all going and that all words now in consciousness and consciousness' way of knowing and experiencing doesn't exist or mean anything anymore. Bernadette tirelessly and clearly says this over and over. His final doorway moment was in looking at the disease thoughts. And this is something that he said to us last week. He said, once the disease was diagnosed, the very name of the disease started various thoughts and concepts, right? So, so as she is saying here, his final doorway moment was in looking at the disease thoughts, which from consciousness would have included final fear thoughts. And he rested, accepted, and trusted, and looked right at them and saw they were consciousness. He, the highest possible true self or divine experience, saw it was all consciousness. The two knowing experiencing touched for a moment, and then the false fell away. So in seeing that everything was consciousness, everything that he was experiencing was consciousness, seeing this with clarity, allowed the last of the phenomenal self or the last of consciousness or the last of the I am presence to fall away. Last week, we talked about how awakening is verbing and not nouning. She says, I agree that awakening is verbing and not nouning. The practices we are doing at Awakening Together will take us all the way. This is what I get out of our contemplations. I love contemplating with you. Big hugs, Manuela. And then there was another email. She says, everything Nisargadatta said before is not true to being beyond consciousness. It is not true to the absolute. It is true, however, to the unitive state of consciousness. It is true of dissolving more and more consciousness, phenomenal self, and consciousness in general. It is true of the divine center and divine experiences of consciousness. It is true, focusing always on true self. His teachings were true within consciousness, but consciousness is not the ultimate truth. And I think this is important for us too. Because again, he says right here, whatever I had thought earlier has now changed. And that's true, again, because his entire experience has now changed. However, what he said before was true up to a certain level. So it's not that his teachings need to be completely discarded, because we still need to walk up to that certain level first, right? So they were not ultimate truth, but his teachings still have value. In fact, her next sentence is, these practices will bring us to crossing over the final doorway, which is good news, because right here in Levita this week, we are contemplating Nisargadatta's teachings that came prior to this message. We're spending the whole week contemplating quotes that come from the book, I Am That. And we're finding those quotes to be very profound and very helpful. But at some point, you know, if we awaken to the degree that Nisargadatta awakened on, what was this date again? Around November 21st, 1980, then we at that point may also see that all of those teachings were bridges, that all of those teachings brought us here, that they don't really exist or have anything to do with what we found when we walked through the doorway, right? That they brought us to the doorway. And those of us who are attempting still to get to that doorway, we really still want to contemplate those wonderful teachings. Again, she says, how lucky we are. I love this sentence. How lucky are we to have read a transcript of Nisargadatta talking about the final doorway? This page should be in gold paper. Bernadette said that the biggest secret and shock was in knowing that it was all consciousness, all of it, even everything we thought experienced as divine. I too am so driven to contemplate Bernadette's book, and so slowly. Each sentence is amazing and totally mind-blowing. I am reading and rereading and simmering with it that I forget about the seven steps contemplations, however she does do them. She may do several in one day sometimes, it looks like. Bernadette left us real treasure. I haven't read such clear and thorough descriptions of my experiences and the experiences to come before. James Schwartz helped explain a bit, but I thank you deeply for going there where really hardly anyone goes. Deep gratitude, Manuela. And we'll stop the share. And I guess I'll pause and see if you guys have any questions or comments or confusions or clarity. I think I left the book that, oh yes, go ahead, George.
Well, I just really have a sense of joy that I mean, Manuela is so clear, and I mean, I haven't read all of their books yet. Matter of fact, I've read very little, but, you know, there's just a sense of, I've always felt that awakening was not just a one-step process, that it has to be a continuously unfolding process. And so I've got to get from minus one to zero to get to that point, but at least to me, that's confirmation of that I'm going in the right direction. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Shauna.
I'm just excited too. I think it's exciting and kind of a scary, and I just can't wait to see where it goes. So again, I feel so grateful that this has been offered to us. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm grateful too. I'm grateful too. I am aware that not all organizations or spiritual groups are contemplating this deep or this level of information. There are a couple things I think it does for me. One thing is, at least the effect it seems to be having on me now, is it doesn't allow my mind to grab onto anything and believe it. And I think that's because earlier on the spiritual path, as I learned different things, what I was really doing was grabbing onto those things and believing them. And somehow, and I don't even know that I can explain this, this teaching that we are getting through Nisargadatta and Bernadette Roberts. I mean, let's put it this way. If Nisargadatta didn't know, and didn't know that he didn't know, then what do I know? Does that make sense? If Nisargadatta didn't know and didn't even know that he didn't know, then what do I know? So it doesn't allow my mind to grab onto and believe anything. The only thing it really tells me is keep going, keep contemplating, keep listening, keep meditating. And there's even a don't believe anybody in here. Don't believe anybody. I remember Buddha, or at least there's a quote. Who knows what Buddha actually said? But there's a quote from Buddha saying, don't believe me. Now that could be very, very confusing to people who think that learning spirituality is all about, you know, believing, learning new stuff to believe, right? But at some level, you begin to realize there's nothing that you can believe that is the truth. If you can believe it, that's not it. Then what you're left with is nothing but a great big mystery. And some practices that you've been given by trustworthy masters that you can use to move forward and find out for yourself. And one thing that I got from Bernadette Roberts' book and that now I'm getting from Nisargadatta, when I read Bernadette's book about a year and a half ago, The Experience of No Self, it seemed to me there were a few different stages in that book as she's telling her story where she seemed to almost think, okay, now I'm there. And then I'd read a little bit further and she'd come to a different stage and seem to say, okay, now I'm there. And then she'd go a little bit further and come to a different stage and say, and now I'm there. And when I closed the book, there was definitely, okay, now I'm there. But I remember closing the book and thinking, how does she know? If at the previous stages when she thought, now I'm there, she was wrong, how does she know she's right this time? How does she know, you know, having lived to be 100 years old, there wouldn't have been one more, oh, now I'm there. You know, and maybe she did know, I don't know. But again, another benefit that has for me is that it weakens all over, weakens the idea that I can know anything. And that is very freeing. You know, if I think I know something, at some level, somewhere, sometime, I have to defend it. It actually becomes a part of my identity. I have to defend what I know. But if I know I don't know, there's nothing to defend. There's just possibilities. You know, I share my deepest contemplation and someone disagrees with me and I consider their point of view. There's nothing to defend. Right? It's all an exploration. And the only way to find out where the exploration will take me is to keep exploring. So, my conclusion is that there's not a conclusion. And that's it for tonight. So I'll see some of you guys tomorrow, and I'll see some of you guys on Sunday. Bye.